Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am your host and excited to be here today. And I'm excited that you're here today as well. I appreciate you being here and thank you for being part of the show. If you are watching us on Facebook, if you want to interact with the show, please head over to the Adventures in Truth Facebook page, and where the live is showing there, you can type into the feed there, and your questions and comments will come to me live on the show, and I'll be able to respond to them and talk with you as we go through the show. So again, thank you for being here. Make sure you like and subscribe and do all that good stuff and share this window and share the live with the world. We appreciate you very much. Today's show. Very excited today. We're going to be having another conversation with Moshe. And today's show is, where do your choices come from? And I had to laugh a little as I was sitting before the show because it was reminding me of being 3 years old and like, why that? Where does that come from? You know, and we're really not kind of focused there. This is more about really understanding where we make choice from. That there are so many influences to our experience, so many things that we encounter that our decisions and our choices are not always clear. And of course, as you know, this is from my perspective, the year of conscious creation. And so part of conscious creation in my world is being able to better understand where you source your decisions from, because those are the things that begin to build or reinforce or enhance your vibration, enhance the core of the vibration that you carry, which is the source of how you create, and being able to build and expand and grow the life and the world that you want to create for yourself. So going to be a fun show, going to be an interesting show as we dive into this. This sort of evolved as Moshe and I were having a conversation, and I was going through some stuff. And as we're talking about it, it became clearer and clearer that the things that, the motivations for my choices were murky because I wasn't able to find any backup, if that makes sense. And we'll get into that more as we get into the show. When I say backup, I mean evidence, real true evidence of where it is I think I was coming from. But we'll dive into that a little more. It can get a little messy if we get too crazy with it. But I think the idea is not to stimulate a whole bunch of mental nonsense. It's about just understanding where we choose from and how that evolves so that we have a better ability to make better choices and to not go with the choice that is a reactive choice, but a choice that is a contemplated choice or a choice that feels resonating for where we want to go. But anyway, we'll go on about that because I could probably go on about it for a while. But again, glad you're here. And on the other side of the break, we're going to get Moshe in the door. So we'll see you guys very soon. All right. www.fearisachoicebook.com. My book published in September of last year is doing very well. I'm very happy about it. If you've purchased the book, thank you so much. I'd love to hear about your experience with it. I'd love to hear how it's transformed your experience with fear, because that's ultimately for me what this whole thing is about. This whole brand, this whole idea. But the book is the physical representation, the thing that you can hold in your hand, that you can go through, that you can explore to begin to really change that relationship with fear. Because what Fear is a Choice is about is bringing awareness to the understanding of how fear evolves in the human experience, how it is propagated, but then how we pick up that mantle as individually and begin to use that same structure, but using it on ourselves, so that through that fear-based consciousness, we begin to dumb down our experience. And so changing the relationship with fear kind of throws off those shackles. If you think about it in the terms of, you know, like a monocle or whatever you call those things that, you know, you're looking through, you have a very limited perspective because you can only see through what's out the other end. Well, that's it to me, how we live in, when we live in a fear-based consciousness, that's how that experience is. We dumb down our world to the point that we can only see very limited perspective. So what I'd like to do is encourage you, as you change that relationship with fear, that it opens up things in ways that you can't even begin to imagine. Because if you go from looking through this tiny cylinder to suddenly having peripheral vision, changes everything, right? I mean, literally and figuratively. So www.fearisachoicebook.com. Please check it out. It's fantastic. Go to the website. The website, you're going to find the links to Barnes & Noble, to IndieBound, to Kindle, to Amazon, and testimonials and all kinds of good stuff there. So check it out. I think you're going to find it's awesome. And we'll be right back. Dun, dun, dun. All right, all right, all right. Hi, everybody. Hi, Moshe.
Hey, Jim. Well, good to see you.
You too, my friend. How's things? What's happening? Here we go for another conversation with Moshe.
I'm ready.
Here we go. Look at me. I'm a mess. I didn't change my background. I just realized I skipped a whole segment. okay, I guess I'm not going there this morning. I'll go there a little later. So let's shift this over a little bit here. I got ahead of him. I guess I'm excited about this conversation.
Yeah. And that's an example of one kind of choice right there.
Ah, go, please say more words.
Well, it may not have felt like a conscious choice to skip that segment, and because you're excited and you want to get going, but that's a lot of our choices are made that way. We just do them and we're not consciously thinking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's not sourced or it's not grounded or it's not right. It's just a way of making it can sometimes feel like an unconscious way. Mm-hmm. But there's an upside and a downside to that.
There is. And I think that as you said that, I thought, that's interesting. Yeah, because it can either be avoidance or an unconscious response, or it's actually being in the flow and allowing yourself to move with the energy that's there. And that to me is really ultimately what choice can be about, you know, that it continues to enhance the ease and flow in your life and not continues to enhance complication and confusion.
Yes, you know? Yes. And I think that's an important point for us to cover today, how to discern the difference between the direction I went was ease and flow, just going with energy, or was avoidance. How do I know which is which?
Yeah, and that's a good point. And sometimes it's tough to tell, but that's really what we're trying to do today, is kind of bring light to that, so that you can, in your own individual experience, because at least to me, it seems that the motivation or the impetus for our choices is all very individually driven. Because it's, you know, you have your own experiences, you have your own warehouse of subconscious activity, you have all of the things that you've lived and the things that you believe and the way that you feel, and all of that kind of comes together to form this, I don't even know what you call it. I mean, it is all part of consciousness, but it kind of makes this weird concoction that makes choice really interesting. Because if you really want to make quote unquote good choices, meaning what Moshe just reflected, which is that the choices that move me through the ease and flow of my life and not complicating my life, it takes some conscious effort to go there. It requires you to really kind of pay attention. because of the things that actually motivate our choices.
Yes. And one additional point that I want to introduce at the outset is the idea of what we make choices about. And that as human beings, we're wired, fortunately, to be able to automate a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So you might remember when you learned to drive, everything was do I step on the gas now? How do I turn the, everything was conscious and took a lot of mental thought, and then it gets automated. If we had to choose going for a walk, if I had to choose every, actively choose, well, where am I going to place my left foot? Where am I going to place my right foot? Where are my eyes going to go? I won't get anywhere.
Yeah.
So we need to address that too. What do we make choices about, which is also a choice?
Yes. And it's not about bogging us down. I really want to be clear about that. When I said the mental part, that's what I meant. This is not about going down the brain drain of, I can't make a decision. I don't know why I'm making a decision. It's not an excuse to be irresponsible. It's just, it's a space to understand better. So like with everything we do, you know, we don't always know what we're motivated by, or we don't always know why we're doing what we're doing, or, you know, what action we take. But as we become more conscious, then we can begin to make changes. And that's really what this is about. Let's get more conscious about it, because the more conscious you are, the easier it is to make changes, the easier it is to make better choices. You know, not diminishing it, just trying to keep it simple.
Yes.
Right on. So as we do, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to, what are we going to do? Oh, I'm going to, I'm going to take a moment to focus. Can you think I need it? So we're going to take a moment to focus here like we do at the beginning of the show. Moshe, we'll be right back. And I'm trying to look, and there we go, trying to see my buttons and all that good stuff. All right, guys, let's do this. This moment to focus. I love this aspect of the show because it gives us a chance, me individually, us collectively, to harness and focus our energy. This is funny. To harness and focus our energy in a way, on multiple levels. I think that when we come together like this, you know, the whole idea of where two or more are gathered, that whole concept is so powerful because it just states that as we focus together, it enhances our awareness of what we're focusing on. As we focus together, we can go into more depth in the topics or in the ideas that we're focusing on, because we're bringing all of our energy to bear on that. And since I skipped that segment of the show this morning, I'm going to start this focus piece with a little bit of My World is Good. And we're going to keep it really simple. We're going to do 10 of them. We're going to just focus our awareness into it. But I want you to first take it inside and just feel My World is Good. Feel it into your heart here, right into the center of your chest. Feel that just for a minute as you're internalizing My World is Good. And then we're going to express it. So remember, you want to feel it, you're going to speak it, and then you're going to feel it some more so that you're building this powerful momentum. So we're inhaling and we're breathing, My World is Good. And just let it come out. My world is good. Don't focus it, just feel it. My world is good. 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 And take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth, and just feel that energy. Just feel the expansion of you in that moment as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you're feeling all of that amazing energy, as you're feeling that expansion, I'm going to ask you to actually consciously shift that, because I want you to bring all of your awareness back into your heart. And now you have all of this amazing energy of how good your world is. Bring that goodness, focus that energy, harness your field, and bring it, literally bring it into your body. Bring it into your heart space and feel the tinkling and the warmth and the sparkliness of that energy as you intensely focus it. And as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, just be with the experience of your field in your body. I want you to have the experience of the inside of you, because that is also part of your world. And the more we become conscious of all aspects of our world, the more room we have to grow, the more clarity we have, and the better we feel, because we feel more connected, and that connection is aliveness. and that aliveness just brings the joy and opens us and focuses us into that joy. So we see it everywhere we are. Remember the perception reflecting back. As you inhale through the nose and exhale from the mouth, now begin to allow that consciousness to travel around inside your body and experience the inside of you just for this moment. Let it travel up into your head. And you can move your body as you do, kind of letting the energy in. I mean, the energy is going to move, but it kind of feels good to open up and let it into the places that feel a little tight or feel a little restricted. And as you're breathing into the nose and out through the mouth, that energy circling around in your head, experience your brain like you never have before. It is your brain. Have a relationship with it. Have an experience of it. Trace that around. Be in the fluid that surrounds your brain and observe all of the activity happening as you travel down the back of the brain through the brainstem, and then you connect to the spine, this incredible lightning rod that runs from the top of your spine to the bottom of your spine that's surrounded in more fluid and protected with bone and resonating and vibrating all of the energy. One of the places that you can always help to change your energy is by engaging your spine. When you're breathing, anything you're doing, if you're finding yourself tense, just move the spine, open it up, release that energy. Don't let it become rigid as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. Traveling, as you see the nerves coming off of that spinal cord and the spinal column reaching through your entire body, becoming aware of your organs and how beautifully they're placed and set inside this body and how in harmony they are. Breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, experiencing firsthand the systems that are in harmony in your body, all of the systems working together to keep this physical body on this planet so that you can continue to evolve and grow. And let that consciousness expand through your body. Feel every aspect of your body down to the cellular level. All the nerves, all the tissues, all the blood, all the cells. Just be with it. Just be in it. It's all you. The magnificence of you. And now we're going to take a moment and consciously engage our breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. We're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to rest at the top in fullness, and then we're going to surrender it all, release it all, to a count of six, so that we can purge all the old energy and air out of the lungs. As we prepare, we rest at the bottom, and then we prepare to take in new energy, and we engage the lungs and do it again. So as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, as you release this exhale, focusing now into the heart space again as we breathe together, as we inhale through the nose, two, three, four, breath full, feeling full, relaxing the neck and shoulders, resting in that fullness, and now purging from the mouth, releasing. Two, three, four, five, six. Good. And let yourself rest in that emptiness. Let yourself rest in that quiet space. And then engage the lungs as you bring in new air and new energy, and you inhale. Two, three, four, feeling that fullness, feeling that energy, relaxing into it, allowing it, and then choosing to surrender it. Exhaling, two, three, four, five, six, and now sitting in that void, that prepared space of readiness, that space of allowing. And now engage the lungs. Inhale, taking in new breath and energy. Two, three, four, feeling that aliveness rush through your body as you rest in that powerful space of fullness. And now releasing from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, letting it all go. Six, being in that empty void space, being in that space of complete allowing and readiness. Readiness to receive the new energy you're breathing in now. Inhale. Two, three, four, feeling that full richness, feeling that as your body relaxes into that experience, and now consciously releasing it. Two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. Rest into that void and empty space. And when you're ready, continue on your own. Carry this rhythm on, inhaling, feeling all of that experience as the body takes on that energy. Remember breath, prana, chi, life force, animating every aspect of this physical body. And as you hold at the top, and then you're releasing, and you're completely surrendering. Every breath is a moment of creation. You take it in, you consume it, you integrate it, and then you consciously surrender it. Because that is the choice of life. That is the choice of evolution. That is the choice of growth. Breathing it in, allowing it to inform and fill you in this moment, and then releasing it in this moment so that the next moment becomes new and fresh every time. Take in these words, let them wash over you. Let them inform your experience as best or however they do. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, I engage, because I am. Feel that. Feel that powerful energy as it radiates and emanates from your heart, that essence of pure love. Feel it. And now allow that energy that's in you, that whole feeling that you had, let it expand and watch it grow. Watch as your energy field moves back out into the world, as you allow it to expand. Watch how huge it is. Look at how large and grand and powerful you are. Feel that radiation. Feel that amazing energy that you are as you come back into this space, as we come back into this space to carry on our conversation about choices. Welcome back. And here we go. What do you think?
That was good. I like that a lot.
Thanks. Yeah, it feels good to kind of connect and all that stuff. So as we dive into this, I thought the best place to start would be understanding that it's all about story. And what I mean by that is we all carry a story. So I'll give you an example. I was recently, and it's been going on for a while, but I recently became acutely aware of it. And I think I talked about it in the last show. But that was this dialogue that was going on in my own experience about how I'm conducting my life. And it's not that I'm doing anything bizarre or odd. I mean, just the way I've chosen to live my life, the choices that I make, the focus that I have, which I talk about all the time on the show. It's not a secret or a surprise. So it's just the way that I choose to approach my life, except this internal dialogue is constantly on me about all of it. Well, you shouldn't be doing this, and you need to be doing that. And why aren't you focusing on here? And shouldn't you be doing this track? And shouldn't you get on this treadmill? And shouldn't you do this program? And shouldn't you, well, what about, you know, your show? Shouldn't you be doing X, Y, Z? And maybe you need to have this powerful guest because you need to do this thing, and you need to make it go this way, and you need to force it over here. And all of this energy that just constantly was kind of running in my mouth and my brain. And the funny part about it is that I had to consciously stop on a regular basis to refute that, but also to make different choices than that. Like having these conversations of, well, yeah, you should really do this thing because this is the way it's supposed to be done. Look, this guy's done it, and this guy's done it, and this guy's done it. You should do this too. And I'm having this dialogue with myself going, that's not me. That's not my choice. That's not what I want to do in this situation. But the funnier part about it is realizing that that conversation was me. No one and nothing in the outside world, nothing reflecting back to me is reinforcing that story. Nothing. And when I became aware of that, it literally dropped me to the floor. I was like, are you kidding me right now? I have spent so much energy trying to choose things and do things around this apparent authority in my life that doesn't even exist. I'm like, what? So the reason I share that is because the magnitude of that to me was astronomical, because all of that story is what sources my choices. And if I'm not aware of that story, then I'm making unconscious choices that are supporting the story because the narrative is so compelling and powerful because it's coming from me. It's coming from the warehouse of my, you know, like think of the subconscious as your studio. It's your TV studio. And your brain is, I don't know, let's call them one of the producers, I guess, would be the way to look at your brain. So it goes into the warehouse, into the studio, and pulls all this old reel, you know, pulls all the old reels so you can piece it all together and builds this beautiful, magnificent story for you to pay attention to. That's total bullshit. From beginning to end, top to bottom, front to back, total bullshit. So, and I say that because nothing in my world was reflecting back to me anything that was going on here. And I realized that I was diminishing myself and consuming tons of my energy in my choices because I was doing, I literally thought I was in a conflict with this about people in my world. It was only right here. Craziness. So that craziness is really what it's all the story is about. So that was my story. That's only one of them, guys. That's not the arcing theme of story. That's just one about one portion of my life. So that's where I'm going with that. What are your thoughts about that, Moshe? How do you see story for you?
Well, I love this studio in that analogy. And the ego is a producer, and sometimes it thinks it's the executive producer.
Yeah, exactly.
When it's not, I think of that phrase, the ego is a bad master, a good servant. And one thing about entertainment, which is what these, you talked about the story being compelling, in a way it's entertaining. That might be a bizarre word, but it kind of applies.
Yep.
And when we watch other people's stories, say you see The Matrix or Star Wars or whatever, we have this capacity to suspend disbelief without continually thinking about it. So we're not thinking, yeah, that was a special effect. That was fake. That could never happen. We just enjoy it. And the trade-off is I'll suspend disbelief and you entertain me. That's the deal, so to speak.
Yeah.
But when what I realize from your story is when we are the producer, we forget to suspend disbelief and see it simply as this creative exercise. And if we could interject that, suspending disbelief, and just watch it as, oh, look at that movie go by, that would change everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what I didn't realize I had built so much struggle into my experience because I am doing what, I mean, I live what I talk about. That's why I talk about it. But the thing about it is here I am having these conflicts in my life, this rub, feeling not good about myself because I think I'm not doing enough because it was made up that I'm not doing enough. And I would sit and go, well, but wait a second, how is that possible? I'm doing this. I do this. My energy. I use my energy. I've got all of these amazing activities going on, and I'm constantly looking for how to best use this vessel that I have. Yes. And to feel that feeling and think that it is coming from somewhere else. That's the part that's mind blowing. But I don't want to get stuck there because while that is intense, I want to take it to our point today, which is about why it affects your choices. Because if you are not conscious and that mind chatter, the more you move away from the mass consciousness, the more you separate from what is what everybody else says is, it becomes more intense for a while. And it becomes more challenging because the mind wants you to stay in the soup and your soul says, no, you're so much more than the soup. So, you know, all the things that I do with the program and the science of transformation and the state shifting exercises about spinning up your energy so that your energy spins up a point so that you move kind of above the threshold of that mass consciousness so that you can begin to experience that experience unrelated to what the world's commonalities are. And so where am I going with that? So the point is that within that are where the choices lie. So as I'm in those moments and I'm feeling those feelings, I don't like those feelings. None of us do, right? We don't like feeling depressed or feeling pressure or feeling unhappy or feeling unfulfilled. So because the mind has triggered that experience, you think your choices live there. You think your choice is what the mind told you the choice was, instead of stepping back from the story to say, wait a second, why am I feeling this way? Wait a second, I'm doing this to myself. Wait a second, why am I doing this to myself? Right. Wait a second. Okay, now that I understand that, what is it that I'm really trying to feel my way into? Well, sometimes the answer is simple, like I just described. My mind feels me separating from that mass conscious, the things that are quote unquote normal. And it's having its reaction. It's having its survival fit. Remember, the ego dies with the body. It knows that. So if you separate from this whole studio, if you decide that the studio is not where you want to spend your time, then your mind is going to be a little frantic about that, because it wants you to stay connected, which is why you have to have the strength to do the meditation and to do the things that align your energy and open you up to those possibilities and potentials, so that you have a place to go that's not resolved in the mind. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And what it's doing is it's assigning the mind a different job.
Yeah, I like that.
And when I work, I do a lot of leadership coaching. Mm-hmm. And often what happens is we can identify a pattern and we can name it. Like, and it's goofy names like Fearful Freddy or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's whatever the pattern comes up, we name it. And then the person can see it and talk to it. Say, okay, Freddie, I'm giving you a promotion. Instead of doing this, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
And you just watch out. If I'm really in serious danger, you tell me. Otherwise, just sit in the back seat and come along for the ride. It's literally assigning it a different job and conveying that explicitly. And the impact of that can be really powerful.
Yeah, definitely. Very powerful. What is your experience? I'm curious. I was thinking about, because the idea of the story is what sort of leads the way in most cases. How do you see that show up in the business environment as much as the personal environment? You know, since that's your, you know, the Amari Wave is all about changing the business culture. So what, how do you see it there?
I see it show up in the business world with a set of beliefs of what business should be like. And the dominant paradigm is often unspoken, but lived, is that business is war. We need to crush the competition. We need to capture market share, this predatory view mm-hmm. toward what business is and why it exists. And we get confused, and the story emerges over the idea that business is about making money yeah. versus business exists to make people's lives better. And a byproduct that is to make money. So the fundamental tenets are off, and that creates all kinds of opportunity for story and justifies all kinds of choices and behaviors, many of which we saw in the last recession.
Yes. And we're going to take a quick break. I want to carry that over because it may be easier for our viewers and listeners to take in the concept from the business model perspective because they can put it out in front of them. And I like that because as you were describing it, it's like, yes, that's exactly right. But we're all doing the same thing. But maybe if it's seen in an objective way, we can integrate it a little differently, which I think cool. would be very powerful. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, you're going to get to chat with Moshe's going to get to chat with you for a minute about all the work he has going on. And we'll be right back.
Science of Transformation Method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. right, guys, www.thesciencetransformation.com. I would love to work with you. I've a huge track record of success in helping people change their relationship with fear. And that's really what the science of transformation is about. It's not only changing your relationship with fear, but helping you to navigate to a greater and greater expression of yourself that comes through you, that comes through your energy, because that's really what this is about. It's about stimulating your energy and then helping you to better understand it and to better clarify and learn about how you use your energy, why you use your energy, and what the impact of that is. So www.thescienceoftransformation.com. Check out the videos. You can set up a free consultation with me. We can talk about what's happening in your world and decide and see if this is a match for what you're looking for. I also have an introductory offer for sessions, and you can learn more and check in the testimonies and stuff on the other side. So we're going to bring Moshe back in. And Moshe's going to talk to you about all the cool things he has going on. Moshe, the floor is yours.
All right. This is the book I wrote a while back, The Amari Way of Uplift Your Business by Putting Love to Work. And I open it with this. I don't know if people can see it or not. It says, it's the quote, "I wrote this book to alleviate suffering in business." And the reason I say that now, it ties into what we're talking about how stories, what stories do to us. And we can get caught up in our own stories and not see them as simply entertainment we create, whether we like them or not. And we believe them to be true, even when they're not. And that causes suffering. And suffering happens a lot in business when people buy into the dominant business's war paradigm that I mentioned earlier. So no, we don't have to crush our competition. We don't have to capture market share. We can respect our competition, learn from them. They bring out our best. We can embrace our customers, say, how can we serve them instead of how do we capture them? We make some fundamental changes. When I do coaching with business leaders, that's what it's about. One of the questions I often ask is, do you need to suffer? And it's a tough question. And often the answer is, I don't know. So my belief is pain is inevitable in life. Suffering is not. Suffering is a choice. And this whole path of putting love to work and eliminating fear is along the lines of reducing suffering, of saying, I don't need to suffer. I can have a better life than that. So that's what my work is about. And it takes place in the realm of business, and it affects very deeply personal life too. That's it.
That was beautiful. www.theamariwave.com, right? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
And you can also go to MosheEngelberg.com to learn about his work, to learn more about his book, to work with him, all that good stuff. So please check him out. So I want to take a quick moment here. We have Ginny out there in the world. I want to say hi. Hi, Ginny. Welcome to the show. Ginny's going to be my guest co-host on Friday. And she was on before, but I just want to acknowledge that and say hi to Ginny. So, okay, so where were we? We were in the throes of, we're today talking about where does choice come from? And so I'd asked you before the break to kind of talk a little more and to help kind of objectify this process of the stories and how even the way you described it in business is exactly the way it happens on the individual level, because of course we're individuals running businesses.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Well, building on what you just said, we're not two different people. We're not one person, one human being in our personal life and somebody different in business. We're the same person, and we can't check our hearts and souls at the door. Though sometimes a lot of us feel obliged to do that to make business work. Well, I have to set aside my ethics and my values and what I really care about and who I am in order to do this business and focus on making money and winning market share and so on. So that's one myth, that we have to be different people. The rub is that to some degree, as human beings, we have the capacity to do it because we're so good at compartmentalizing and we're so good at going unconscious. So business gives us that opportunity to separate from ourselves. And in doing that, we are creating all kinds of stories and we're making all kinds of choices that ultimately don't serve who we are as individuals and who we are as a species. But it's what we can do. And we can look at business in the way you're describing as we can distance ourselves, which lets us see things differently. And how often do we say, well, it's just business? That was a quote from The Godfather, where the Godfather said to Sonny, don't take it personally. It's just business, before killing a bunch of people or doing whatever he did.
Yeah, that's become a meme. That's become a that's become a thought trend ever since.
Yes, I mean, it has. Hear that all the time. And it's total bullshit. It's personal because we're persons.
Yeah,
it can't be otherwise.
Yes.
So if we see what we allow in business with the justification of it's business, then we can turn that same mindset to our personal lives and say, what do I allow in my life because I separate, because I go unconscious?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. It's it, you know, so here we are at every juncture, we have choice at every, you know, when we're making choices 24/7, we're making choices continually, all the time, making choices, whether they're unconscious or conscious. And I put up here the unfortunate confluence of events, because it's, it seems unfortunate that we have all these layers and all this stuff sort of in the way of being able to execute cleanly, as it were. And it isn't that you have to, it just changes the whole trajectory of your life and your experience when you do, because when it's unconscious or when it's unattended to, everything becomes circumstantial and happenstance and coincidental. And, you know, you start to have all these experiences that are you begin to accept that the unpleasantness is necessary all the time, you know, or that the unhappiness or the frustration or the anger or the whatever it is. And it's not, it's simply the fact that we've got subconscious, we've got cultural, we've got belief systems, we've got emotions, we've got all of these things piled into this, then adding the subconscious layer of stuff that we carry around in our field. And then we are confronted by energies that require us to make decisions. And we go, okay. And so we're trying to, you know, clear the space. How do I get to that decision? I find myself oftentimes I'll be in a point of decision and I just simply can't go there because I can't find my center. You know what I mean? And I can't find that place, that core that says, ah, okay, I'm here now. Now, what am I attending to? Because what's coming at me has triggered the stuff in my energy. So there's all this noise that I was, like I was talking about earlier, there's all this noise going off and all the noise is getting in the way of the clarity. So I have to take the time to, again, like I talked about before, going, spinning your energy above the mass consciousness. It's the same within yourself. You want to get that vibration going so that you can move beyond the cloud and see what's past the cloud, because the cloud is just noise. But it's an unfortunate confluence of events because it does require us to take those steps. But again, you don't have to, because it's all about choice. You get to choose how you want to do things. We just want to hope, at least from my perspective, that these choices are serving you, that these choices are ultimately taking you where you want to go, and that they're taking you to more peace and more joy and more satisfaction and less conflict and less confusion and less frustration.
So what do you say to people who say, yeah, Jim, easy for you to say it's a choice. My life is full of choices. But for me, that's not true. I have this shitty job that I have to keep because it gives me benefits and enough money to support my family. I'm a single parent. I have to moonlight also to make enough money. One of my kids has serious health problems and I'm at my wit's end dealing with that. So making choices, yeah, right. I'm just trying to get through life every day. What do you say to that?
So many things. So, like it or not, everything you just shared is story. like it or not, or want to accept or understand it. It's a story. It's the emotional, the content of it is a story that we tell ourselves and repeat to ourselves over and over and over again. And when we do that, we create that reality over and over and over again. That's part of the unfortunate confluence of events. In every moment, we have the ability to choose how we feel. We have the ability to choose where we want to focus ourselves. And to the person who is experiencing that, I am in no way judging your life experience, and I am in no way quantifying or qualifying your life experience. The point of the question, and to what I think Moshe is asking, is how does choice operate within that field of events? Well, if you lump everything like that together and you live in that bubble of energy, you will struggle. Plain and simple, because your focus is not in the place of creating change. Your focus is in the problem. So parts of that have to be how you change your energy, how you use your energy, how you focus your energy. Do you use meditation? Do you use yoga? What are you doing to find your center? What are you doing to find? There are a lot of people who go through a very similar experience, who are filled with joy and gratitude, who step into each experience in the best possible way that they can, because that's what they can do in this moment to improve their circumstance. And so if I have to go to a job that I don't like right now because it's helping me pay the bills, that was still a choice. You chose to take that job for that reason. So if you're resisting the job after you've chosen the job, that's on you, not on the job. If you make a choice, align with the choice. If you don't like the choice, change the choice. You are never trapped. You are never stuck. You are never choiceless. But you are conscious or you are unconscious. Two very different places to be. So again, no judgment there. It's not about right, wrong, or different. It's just the choices. It's just the path. How do you want to navigate that path? How do you want to walk it each and every day? You know, I left home when I was 16 years old, just before I turned 16 years old, having no clue how the hell I was going to survive my life. But every step of the way, I did what I could in the moment to move me in the direction of where I wanted to go, right? I may not have had some grand goal. There were times I did, you know, where I wanted to go to New York. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a successful actor and go work with Steven Spielberg and do all that. And not to say that still couldn't happen sometime in my life, I don't know. But that's not where my focus is. That was where my focus was. And I'm not diminished or less than because I didn't get there. That was born of another time. That was born of another version of me that enabled me to get to those places in my life to make another choice and another choice. And did I always make the best choices? Of course not, because I'm no different than anybody else that we're talking to here. I have clouds too. And sometimes I'm now at a point in my life where I don't allow the clouds to dictate my choices. I don't allow the clouds to decide how I'm going to be. And that's everything from food to, you know, life, big life choices. If I'm cloudy, I don't choose because I'm not in the space of, I'm being run by something else in that moment. And I was thinking about this earlier, thinking about like ice cream. You know, ice cream is a favorite go-to for a lot of people because it's sugar and it's fat and it's a stimulation. So when we're disconnected from ourselves, we do sugar. Sugar helps stimulate fake energy to make us feel better about what we're not necessarily confronting or dealing with. And I can tell you, I can be sitting on the couch and I'll be having a great evening or sitting in whatever I'm doing and suddenly not paying attention to my thoughts. I'm going, I got to have ice cream. I'm going to die. I got to have ice cream or I'm going to die. You know, I mean, I'm exaggerating. But the point of it is the immediate response is, oh, ice cream. I love ice cream. Why wouldn't I want ice cream? And I start to go for the ice cream and I went, Jim, you just ate half an hour ago. You couldn't possibly be hungry right now. So why do you want ice cream this moment? And then I just sit back and relax for a minute. And then I start to notice where my mind has been for the last 15 or 20 minutes because I've dialed back in. So I'm like, oh, okay. I've been sitting here spinning my nuts off about some stupid thing that I haven't resolved and I'm feeling inadequate. and my energy's dropping. Let me get some ice cream so I can fake energy myself up to feel better again. Again, not a judgment. It's just the assessment of the choice. It's not a good, bad, or indifferent. I could still get up and get the ice cream. But when I understand why I'm doing it, it changes the desire. It changes, I'd rather stop this than eat the ice cream. I don't want to sit here and feel like shit. I would rather feel better. And then if I want ice cream, I'll have ice cream.
Yeah.
Because it isn't about not having the ice cream. It's about the purpose, the motivation of the choice. So anyway, I've been going on for a while there, but
well, that, your turn. I think one of the things that was very powerful in what you just said is where you're talking to yourself, where you can be the observer and the witness. And I think for listeners and viewers, that's really important.
Yes.
That capacity to step outside your own experience and see it for what it is and ask questions like, hey, look what I'm doing. I wonder why I'm doing that.
Yes. I'm going to take a second here. I'm sorry, Marsha. That question that you asked me stimulated some response there. I want to look at the responses here about the single mother and that whole thing. Jackie, thanks for being here. Jenny, thanks for being here. I don't see anything that I want to necessarily put up. I appreciate your comments, though. They're just commenting to say, yes, I see it. Okay, that makes sense. Yes, it's hard. And yes, it can be. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Carry on. My bad.
Sorry. Yeah. The power in witnessing and observing our own lives and be able to step outside our experience and comment on it and observe it honestly and ask questions, simply wondering, I wonder why I want ice cream right now. And the way you do it, I love you talk to yourself. Okay, Jim, what are you doing?
And that's really a powerful part of your the objectification or the being able to sit outside of it. And that talking to myself is literally, I see the two parts of me, that these two aspects of me and talking to it, we're talking, yeah, it gives it, it keeps it, it builds that dynamic of recognizing that I am not it. I am not that. That's the ultimate source of it, is that I am not that. Therefore, I have the ability to interact with it, which means I have the ability to change it or shift it or not pay attention to it.
The other thing I've heard you do many times that I think is also very teachable is using the word we. So you unify the observer and the doer parts of you. Like when you were years ago and you quit smoking, you would say, and you wanted a cigarette, you'd say, nah, yeah, we don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. The observer and the doer aren't doing that.
Yes.
So it's bringing together those two aspects. That's really powerful.
Yeah. And both are powerful because when you want the mind, when you're trying to, in consciousness, the whole idea is to shift the power balance so that it isn't about the ego driving the show. It isn't about the mind driving the show. So as you build your connection and the soul becomes stronger and stronger, you want that egoic part to enroll into that energy, because from the perspective of alignment, from the perspective of connection to soul, you're creating these powerful intentions and you're creating these powerful desires. And out of those desires, you got to have some way to connect to it. That's what the ego does. So the ego is the physical representation of what you're trying to bring from the ether into the world, whether it's a real thing, whether it's a physical thing or an experience. And so as you reach, you reach for that, the soul is building all this momentum and energy and forward motion. And the ego then, when you're in, becomes the inspired aspect, right? It is the part that you go, oh, this is the next step. The ego comes to forward and goes, oh, I can operate that. I can operate in the world. I can do this and this and this and this. That was inspired by this amazing energy. That's the difference in the relationship. So when you're focused in a positive place of change, bringing those energies together is the best possible thing, because you're enrolling the ego into the soul's plan, as it were. You know, I'm saying soul plan. When it's a negative thing and you're trying to correct it, you don't want to bring them together in that fashion, because you're not trying to integrate bad behavior. you're trying to correct bad behavior. So being the observer in that situation allows you to not not take it on. You can look at it and say, is this really what I want to do right here, right now? And if it's not, change it. And then once it's changed, you can reintegrate that energy with a new, you come together in a new way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So self-awareness and being conscious are really key to making choices.
Yes. And that's where, you know, we were talking about earlier, those peeling back the layers. It's, you don't have to brain drain it, people. Seriously, it's not about brain draining. It's not about going down the spiral of, because I've been there, done that, and there's nowhere to go. It just circles. It circles and circles and circles. Many conversations I've called Moshe, and I'm like, okay, I'm in the loop. Can I just dump for a minute? Because I've lost my perspective of my observer. And so I'm in spin cycle. And so Moshe at times is brilliant at helping. I can just go and just simply doing that, putting it outside of myself again in a conscious fashion to another human being, enables me to find distance once again, enables me to get back to that observer place that I've lost because I got so consumed in my story and in the layers of stuff that's just inundating me, because it at times is very overwhelming. And I'm sure you've all experienced that, where the story is so powerful, you feel unable to unburden yourself from it. And that's just, it's all illusion. So having those tools to help you navigate through that, and sometimes that navigation means just sitting in it.
Yes.
100% sitting in it until you find your center, because there is no other way to go there, you know. And that's what those are the uncomfortable parts. But that's part of that confluence of unfortunate events. Sometimes it's just the way it is, because the awareness is what you're looking for. The feeling and the experience is just show.
Yeah.
So where are we at? Moshe, what would you like to say to the peeps? We got about 2 minutes maybe. As we look at this whole idea of choice, and where we've come over the course of the show and things, what are your thoughts as we come to close with this today?
When we choose to make our choices conscious, life changes dramatically. And I believe it's the best thing we can do, and what we have the unique capacity as human beings to do, mm-hmm. to make our choices conscious. And sometimes it's hard. Like you were saying, it can cause pain and bring up difficulties and require us to let go of the status quo that we're so comfortable with and familiar with, even if we don't like it. But our capacity as human beings to be self-aware and conscious is, to me, that's everything. And that's how we get in alignment. And when we make those choices and get back in alignment, as painful as it can be, it is so freeing. It's beautiful. And I really appreciate that that's what this episode is about. And I hope it serves people really well to make the choice about making choices, to say, yeah. I am making conscious choices, period.
As much as I can in every moment.
Yes.
And that's, you know, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes to go there, because you know that even if you're feeling badly, you know that if you go there, it'll change and the feeling will be vastly different. Like you said, that sort of, it takes you to a place of deep satisfaction, a place of resolution, instead of a place of half done or, okay, that's a little better. You know, you want to clear it out. Let's move on to making choices that ultimately uplift us to the best possible version of ourselves, right?
Yes. And I'm glad you added that, to make choices as much as we can. That added a note of compassion. Of it's tough, and if we're not used to it, it's even harder. So we start small and do the best we can and not punish ourselves.
Exactly. Because sometimes it's just even if you manage to recognize one a day, that's a huge change.
Yeah.
Being able to do that. So thank you all for being here. Moshe, as always, amazing conversation. Great show. I love this. Thank you out there for your comments and for being there. And we will see you next time, and looking forward to it. We'll see you again. Have a great day, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share.
If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescienceTransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.